All right, as we look through the window of baseball, and it's brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. As I look through the window, I actually see him today.
It's so clear today.
And Marvin Windows and Doors, he's a best columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, a great baseball man. That's Bruce Jenkins. Hey, how are you?
Hey, nice to be here at the Public House, always.
Yeah, what do you think of Hayward's catch last night? That's the first thing I'd like to ask you.
I tell you, he ran from Yuma to Merced for that one, didn't he? I mean, it was so AT&T. I mean, you can't, that ball's out of any other park. I think it might have been out of the old Polo Grounds. I mean, it was just he ran an acre to get that thing, and of course it didn't work out in the end, but a really, really terrific play, especially, you know, from right field.
Yeah, that the distance going, covering that's what got me about it. I realized maybe he could catch it, but to get from that spot, wow.
Yeah, and you know the Cubs, you know they've got a lot of depth, and this is a good example when that stuff comes in handy. They'll bring in another guy, he starts raking. You know they've got guys like Baez and Soler just trying to get in the lineup somehow, and boy, they're scary.
And they're young too. I know that some of their starting pitchers, Arrieta, Lester, 30 plus. But most of their position guys are really young.
Well, Rizzo and Russell and Bryant, forget about it. Yeah. These guys are so, so good.
All right. Arrieta, where do we put him in the pantheon of great pitchers here? He's 30. He'll be 31 next season. He's going to be a free agent. Do you invest $200 million in him?
Yeah.
And how good is he?
Well, he's as good as he get right now. For some reason, I was thinking about Bob Gibson last night watching him. He just has such a look about him and such command, and everything's in control. All of his pitches are kind of devastating. Guys are kind of flinching or taking half cuts. They can't read it, what he's throwing. Brilliant. I would put a lot of money into the guy. You hope it works out. Maybe it doesn't. But when a guy's that good, you take that risk.
Yeah, do you give him 5 years?
You have to in baseball now. Yeah. You don't want to. You'd rather give him two, you know, but you have to give him five, if not seven, the way people bid on guys now.
Bruce Jenkins with us from the Chronicle, and Henry is to your right. And you guys talked a little bit before you came on about Pence and Pagan. I had not heard this yet, and there's some news about them.
Well, Pagan has tweaked the same hamstring that kept him out for a while. Bochy didn't seem to think it was terribly serious, but it's a precautionary thing. And Pence has had a little hamstring down near the bottom of the hamstring, as opposed to way up in the upper thigh, down above the knee. And Bochy noticed it in San Diego. He wasn't running that well, and it hasn't gotten a whole lot better. It's not one of those hammies that takes you out for a month, they don't think. I mean, it hasn't been aggravated to that point, but they don't want it to get any worse, so you lose two guys there today.
Well, San Diego, they had their own issues with hamstrings, right? The Padres? So the hamstrings, that's just eating up baseball, and it's eating up these outfielders. So
hamstrings and the obliques are ganging up on everybody.
All right, Rob Manfred, looks like he gives a press release every couple of weeks about the time of the game, the pace of the game. Is it that much of a difference at 2:55 to 3 hours?
No.
I mean, honestly, to make a big
deal
of that?
Absolutely not. The fans are not sitting there looking at their watches. They've got their own timetable. Maybe they got to get the kids to bed or whatever, but most of the fans, we see it out here a lot, you know, they're sticking around to the end, and they're not they're just not dwelling on these things. They're not looking at their – baseball is not a game where you look at your watch.
Well, I feel like I'd like it to speed up just a little bit, but I don't know how cutting down on the intentional pass.
No.
How often do we see those in a game?
Well, the two things that bother me are the guys dawdling in the box, stepping out after every pitch, and they're trying to crack down a little bit on that, you know, fiddling with the wristbands. Just get in the box and hit, you know. And the replay system is so antiquated, I can't believe it. I mean, if you had, because at home, you basically know what happened within 30 seconds. If you're watching the replays, in 30 seconds, you know. That should be the point where somebody tells the umps, forget everybody gathering with the headsets. You don't even do that. They don't gather. Okay, you get the word from New York. No gathering, all right?
Well, how about putting a cap? I'm sorry, Marty. How about putting a cap on how long they review? 90
well,
seconds.
You can't do that. Some crews back there are in charge of two games, and maybe each game has something coming at them at the same time. Now, you'd rather each crew have just one game. But I think there are times when, like, a 30-second limit wouldn't be enough because it's maybe the stakes are so high and it's so close, you got to look at it closer. But generally...
I like my mother used to say, don't make a big simus about everything, you know, and that's what she used to say.
It's a great word.
And I think baseball is making a big simus about everything right now. They're trying to get it perfect within 3 months and all that. But you and I have talked about the electronic umpiring, And, you know, we sort of talked about it. You went out to San Rafael to see it. Eric Burns went out there. And I know you keep an open mind. We both keep an open mind on this stuff. They're starting to talk about that again, if they change the knee and all this in the strike zone.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are tired of having to scout the umpires and knowing who's working the play tonight. All right, well, we're not going to get the low strike tonight, you know, even though it's a strike, or you're not going to get the high strike or whatever it may be. It just gets tiresome. And, you know, people have to realize it's not going to be a robot behind the play. There's still going to be an umpire there. He's going to call guys out at home, and he's going to do everything else that you do. But the balls and strikes will be called digitally. And, you know, I'm a real traditionalist, but I'm just not that offended by the notion.
Yeah, I think maybe, did you see the movie Sleeper?
Yeah.
Remember Woody Allen as the robot, and he walks around like this?
Yeah.
Can't they have that behind home plate? I mean, you know, have something like that. Have Woody Allen, you know, he goes like this with the thing on his head. I mean, you might as well make it humorous for everybody,
sure.
You know.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Well, it's just not fair for the batters.
Baseball's a funny game, but I don't know if it's that funny.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this, and you know, I love reading the old sporting newses and connecting the dots of baseball. Back in the 40s, they were going to put a bell on the bases. That when you hit the base with your foot, the bell went off, and the umpire could tell if you hit the... You know, they were talking about it back then. It was a problem making the call. So I don't know where it's going to go. I think they're going to have less things reviewed. I think maybe that's where we're going with this.
Yeah, the neighborhood play where, you know, if a guy's got his foot 1 inch off the bag when he takes the throw and they have to review that, that to me is the height of lunacy.
All right.
Stop the game for that.
Rob Georgie, how are you? Nice Georgie brothers. Very
Great
nice.
Article for you.
Who was Ty Cobb? The history you know that. All right, very good. Thanks, Rob. Good to see you. Rob Georgie. Very nice. All right. Matt Cain today, big game for him in some ways. I mean, you know, he's pitched two good ones. Now he's going against the Cubs, and let's see where he fits into things.
No, they're all big for Cain. They really are. I mean, he's constantly trying to prove himself. But, you know, today, if they were to get that win, you know, the Cubs came in last night and showed everybody why they're the Cubs. George Contos can tell you all about it, you know, as well as Peavy. But, you know, for Cain to get into the sixth or seventh inning with just a couple runs and good control and not walking anybody or maybe just one guy, that would be great. I mean, they would take that and would ease a lot of strain. If all of a sudden they've got four guys they can rely on instead of just three, that's almost the best of all worlds in baseball. It's very rare you're going to have five horses out there.
Well, I hate to take it back into the time machine, but I know that there's been great anticipation ever since Thursday night all the way till now, 1913 New York Giants. And they've been mentioned because of that road streak, and I want to know your thoughts on the 1913 Giants, Bruce.
Well, Marty and I were both there for that. I mean, we were talking about it the other night about how what Christy Mathewson, behind the scenes, he did a little drinking.
And I'll tell you, Iron Joe McGinty.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and he worked in a coal mine, in an iron steel mill or whatever, and that's how he got the nickname. But he would pitch both games with a doubleheader.
Absolutely, no problem. 200 pitches each.
I think. But Christy Mathewson, all right. But whatever. Isn't it incredible, though, in the long history of the Giant franchise that this is the first time they had a 7-0 road trip?
I just love being able to go back to 1913 with the same franchise. That's just a fantastic thing. And the Cardinals and Dodgers and everybody can say the same thing.
Bruce Jenkins with us. We'll let you go. Henry's going to come on next, and we're getting close to our pregame time. Is this a big series for the Giants?
Well, it's an interesting series. I mean, they're in first place. They just won 8 in a row. Everybody knows they're a huge contender for the postseason. I think it's a game they'd like to stand up for themselves, but they don't. I don't think they need to win the next two. If it was Bumgarner and Cueto, maybe a little different.
Yeah.
The odds are stacked a little bit against them the way it's set up with, you know, Lester and Arrieta. I mean, my goodness, those guys have been phenomenal this year.
And just
by the way, you mentioned bunting to Mark Gonzalez. He didn't answer the question. I mean, from what we've seen of Lester, that's a vulnerability there for sure. I mean, he's picked up his glove and thrown it over there. He's thrown two hoppers just to make sure it goes in a straight line. I mean,
he can't throw the glove from third base.
No.
I'm telling you.
And, you know, they originally wanted Pagan and Blanco's in there today, as well as Span.
Tomlinson.
So, and Tomlinson. They got a lot of speed in there, which is no accident.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting.
This has to be the first time Tomlinson's hit in the three hole since he was in a little kid.
Probably so.
Well, how about playing left field? He said middle school. I'm not sure I can remember middle school.
Yeah.
Did I go to middle school?
You were in the Hall of Fame. Aren't you in the middle school Hall of Fame down in Miami Beach?
Senior. Miami Beach Senior High School.
I went to Lincoln Junior High School and worked on the newspaper. It was called The Rail Splitter. That's all I remember.
Cool.
All right, Bruce, great to have you with us. Tomorrow we'll have you back again, of course. And it's going to be interesting tonight. I'm looking forward to it. And Joe Madden, he looked like he was ready for an avalanche last night. He was wrapped up. It was cool for him last night.
One of my favorite guys.
Isn't it?
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah, and you know, he talks in these grand terms. He quotes Shakespeare. And I said to him, does anyone know what you're talking about? And he says these guys seem to relate to him. And he has all sorts of dress-up things and stuff, and he keeps them loose, and it's managing men.
Yeah, he's throwing out passages from the Dead Sea Scrolls out there. I tell you, this guy.
Crazy.
Love it.
All right, Bruce, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay. All right, that's Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Let's hear for Bruce.
Yep.
Absolutely. Great job. Come on. Everyone's eating. That's what they're doing. All right, there we go. We're getting the rolling applause now. All right, more coming up right here in the Sports League.